One of the foundations, the fundamental truths of Scripture, I believe. Now, this could be debated, but in my experience and my understanding and what I see in the Word of God, this seems to hold true in my mind 100% of the time. You may be able to contradict me on this, but I believe it's in the character and the essence of God and who He is. And it is this truth, or at least my assumption that I believe is a truth, that whenever God judges, or there is judgment given from God out to man, there is always also a manifestation of God's grace that goes with us. Whenever we see God's judgment in a dramatic way, and maybe not even so dramatic, I'm not sure how far this goes, but it seems to be a relevant truth that whenever God judges, there's also His grace that accompanies that judgment. It's there for man to accept and to see. Judgment is punishment. In this case, for sin, transgressions for sin, missing the mark, falling short of the glory of God, missing God's holy standards. Grace, on the other hand, is giving to us His mercy, giving to us something that we don't deserve, something that we did not earn, something that is not given to us because we have earned enough credits to come our way. Grace is something God gives to us even though we don't deserve it. And He always opens up His grace to man. He opens up His grace to us, even in the midst of judgment. Now, Scriptures tell us that there is a judgment for our sin, and that is death. And it is because of what Christ did on the cross that we celebrate tonight, that we have a means in which we can be forgiven of our sins and have eternal life with God, allowing Christ to take the punishment, the judgment for our sin. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, the apostle says that he proclaims the gospel, which contains first the judgment of sin by Jesus Christ, that Jesus died according to the Scriptures and was buried. That's a part of the gospel. That's a part of the essence of the good news of God, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And so He died for our sin, that we through faith might have God's grace. For by grace, Ephesians 2, 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Our faith leads us into that relationship with God through His grace that He gives to us. That grace that is sufficient to allow our sin to be forgiven through Jesus Christ. He died for our sin that we through faith might have God's grace. It is a marvelous thing to celebrate, and that's why we call it Good Friday. We was talking about it early this morning. Hunter asked his mother, why is it Good Friday, or one of the way or the other? The question was asked. I read it in Todd Starnes' editorial today. Why is it called Good Friday? Because such a horrible thing happened. It is Good Friday because of the good that we have received through Christ dying on the cross for our sin. It is good for us. And it is out of the love of God that it happened. It was God's choice to do it. His love accomplished it. Many places in Scripture illustrate this truth. One of which that I have lately become more familiar with is the story of Noah, right? Although this historic event has so much significance in a number of different ways, I believe that it reaches into the depths of this salvation message and this principle that where there is judgment, there is also God's grace. First of all, let's talk about the judgment. There was a lot of sin, wasn't there? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 6, to begin with at least. 6 and 7 is where we'll basically be this evening for these next moments. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart..." This verse astounds me. And what it says next astounds me in a way, but in a way I completely understand. "And the intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That's a pretty strong statement. Pretty strong words. I don't think that we're confused about what it's saying here. That man as a whole at this point in history and point in time was thinking about evil, sinful thoughts all the time. Not some of the time, not most of the time, not 99% of the time. It says all the time. Verse 11. "Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence." Verse 12, "God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth." And verse 13, "Then God said to Noah, the end of flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth." At that point in time, all humanity had been corrupted. It is true that once sin entered into the world, Scripture tells us that all sin through Adam. Through Adam, we all sin, but we also all have the sin capacity and the sin nature. Some people don't like it said that way, but I don't know how else to say it. The sin nature that we all sin. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All, not some. Not 99%. Again, it's all. We all sin. Talk about this a little more. Including Noah. Yeah, Noah had to have been a sinner as well. "And the wages of sin is death." Romans 6:23. God in his omniscience made the decision to destroy the earth as it was then, and all life except for those eight people that entered into the ark. This was God's judgment on sin. The question may be asked today, and this is really a side note, but Pastor, do you think that we're getting as bad today as it was in the days of Noah? And I would answer no, I do not believe that. Because listen, it says at the beginning of chapter 6, I believe, that, verse 1, that when man began to multiply on the face of the land. Now, we don't know exactly what that means, but I believe it at least means that there was beginning to be a fairly large population of people. Babel had taken place, and the languages had been confounded, and the people scattered. They went in all different directions, and as they went, their families, and as they propagated, the population of the earth grew. There wasn't just a handful of people. And I really think there was something else going on here, but I'm not even wanting to get into that because it's not a part of our discussion. But I believe that there was a fairly large population at this time. And that out of all of those people, there was just Noah. And through Noah, it would appear that his family found grace in the eyes of the Lord, found favor, found grace. Now, I can go all over this country and all over this world, and I can find many, many millions of people that are still true to their faith and their commitment to Jesus Christ. We've not reached this point yet, but it is obvious that we are headed in that direction. Okay? This then was God's solution, at least temporary solution, to the problem at hand. He would destroy all of mankind and all of creation as it originally was created. He would destroy it and only leave Noah and his family to continue. That's where we see mercy. I like mercy. I'm glad for mercy. I am extremely glad for God's mercy and his grace that he has given to us. While there was judgment, there was also great grace. Chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. If you have the King James Version, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace and mercy are two words, two concepts that are the flip side of the same coin. Mercy is not giving us what we deserve, which was dying in the flood, so to speak, in this particular context, dying in the flood. Grace was giving us what we didn't deserve, and that was life in the heart of the ark. God's grace was extended. His favor, as it says in this translation, his favor was given to Moses. And that was a wonderful thing. And there is the picture of God's grace being extended, even in the midst of a horrible, horrible judgment. I don't think we can fathom the depth of this judgment, the cataclysmic event that took place. When the heavens opened up and the earth opened up with its water, and, you know, it was a whole different world then. We don't even understand what that all means. But it put enough water on the face of the earth to cover it, and to cover it adequately. The surface may have been different before. It may not have been as high as mountains. There may have been, we don't know. Because of the cataclysmic event that took place, may have changed things completely. It did change things. We know it changed some things immediately. Immediately from that point, man began to live much fewer years than he had before the flood. Immediately. So, a lot there. But Noah found favor. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man and his family, a total of eight people from a very populated earth, God made a way. And may I say, it was a very unique way. I've been trying to figure out, and there's a number given in the account of 120 years, but most of the scholars say, no, that's not the number of years it took to build the ark, because that encompassed more years than what was actually used in building the ark. One of the numbers I found today was probably 50 to 75 years. You know what? That's a lot of time. to invest in something that you had no idea, no idea how it would be used. And as you see on the picture that's still on the back table, of me standing in front of the model, well, it's not a model, a replica, it's a replica, okay, I think that could be used. A replica of the ark, the same size, same dimension. That was a lot of work. That was an investment that I don't know how a man by faith decided to go along with God. I mean, there's a lot of great stories of faith in Scripture. But this ranks up there, and it does, because he's in the faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. He is a great man of faith. I don't know how he did it. And I don't know how he put all of that together. It took him a long time. I think we sell short the intelligence of the early man, so to speak. In fact, they were back closer to the beginning of God's perfection. We've probably gotten much further away from God's perfection today. A lot of speculation. I should shut up. Okay, I will. God made a way for him to be saved, and he offered his grace. It took faith, as it always does. God was patient. People had years to repent. And in verses 4 and 10 of chapter 7, it indicates the fact that the door of the ark, while the animals came in, was open for 7 days. In that time period, that was pretty magnificent within itself. One day you look up and here's this trail of animals headed towards the ark. What are they doing? That's interesting. Never seen that happen before. Old crazy Noah over there in that big, whatever it is he built, they didn't even know what a ship was or an ark or whatever it was. What is that thing? And why are those animals going there? And they just kept going. Something's happening here. This is kind of miraculous in and of itself. 2 Peter. I've got it written down here. I don't know if I can find it off the cuff. Yeah, 2 Peter 10, or no, there's no 10 chapters. 2:5 says, or calls Noah a preacher of righteousness, a herald of righteousness. He had been working and testifying to what God was going to do for years and years. The people were exposed to the truth. They could have repented and they could have walked on with the animals, and yet they did not. Why Noah? Was he without sin? No. I've already said that. It's impossible. But just as it is with us, it is faith. In fact, Hebrews 11 says that by faith, Noah did this. And by faith, Noah received the righteousness of God. Not by who he was, but by his obedience and his faith. He was made righteous before God. That is an amazing thing. It is the same with us today. Noah was declared righteous through faith, and so are we. The grace of God saved Noah and his family from the death, and that resulted to the rest of the population in a flood that destroyed them all. All of mankind, all animal life was destroyed except for that which was on the ark. As we celebrate Jesus tonight, we understand he died because of our sin. We've already talked about that. We know that. You've been schooled in that. So that through our faith we might enter into him. Enter into Christ by faith accepting Christ and what he did for us, as Noah entered into the ark and was saved, so we enter into Jesus Christ and are saved. There is this twofold truth that Scripture tells us, that we, through Christ, that through faith in Christ, we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Revelations 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's Jesus knocking at the door. That's an indication of Christ coming into our lives, or at least an illustration of it. Christ wanting to come into our lives, to become a part of us, that Christ is in us, but also the truth is professed that we are in Christ, and it is in Christ that we have the grace of God, the mercy of God, to escape the eternal judgment that is for those who sin, for those who do not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. The door is open, as it was to the ark. May you realize and accept the reality that through the door there is the grace of God. I wonder in my mind, and maybe Scripture says more than what I understand and what I've seen of it, but the one thing it does say is that when all of the animals were in and everything was settled, that God shut the door of the ark. Yeah, could you imagine the rain starting to fall and people start looking around and saying, "I'll race you. Last one there is rotten egg." And Noah would have held the door open, probably because he didn't want to see these people probably perish. But no, God shut the door. It wasn't Noah. It was God. God shut the door, and time was up. But in Christ, in faith, Noah, in obedience to God, was safe in the belly of the ark. And we are safe as we accept the reality that through the door, there is the grace of God through the door of Jesus Christ. The picture is there. The picture is painted for us to see. And so as we come to the table tonight, the Lord's Supper, we celebrate that. We celebrate the physical aspect of it. The bread and the juice that are symbolic of what Christ went through physically to pay the price for our sins. But we're also celebrating the reality that in Christ we have salvation. We have grace and mercy. We have entered into a relationship with Him, and we are now in Him as Christ died on the cross for our sins. Let's just bow our hearts for a moment. Father, for this truth, it is elementary to the fundamental teachings of Christianity, that it is in Jesus Christ. The ark and Noah are a picture of this. And it is fully revealed, not only as a picture in Noah and the ark, but particularly through Jesus Christ coming to earth to die on the cross for our sins. It is a reality. It is more than just physical life. It is spiritual life. It is eternal life that we have in Jesus Christ. As we come to the table, these elements are representative of what Christ has done for us. We look back with thanksgiving and adoration in love for what His love has done for us, what it was willing to do, and what it did accomplish in coming to earth and dying on the cross for our sins. The door is open, and I pray that everyone here has entered in. If there is one that has not entered in, by faith in Jesus Christ, that today right now in their hearts that they might do that, confessing their sin, acknowledging that they are not in a right relationship with God. Their sin separates them from God, and the only answer is Jesus Christ. Father, help us to see and understand as much as we can, but help us also now to celebrate what Christ did for us. In His name we pray. Amen.